Listen now to the Chapel Platform from Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina. In the various services on the campus, speakers challenge students, faculty, and staff from the Word of God. We bring you these messages on the Chapel Platform. Our speaker today is Evangelist Dr. Jerry Savinsky from Star, South Carolina. He preached this message at Chapel on Tuesday, September 25, 1990. His text is Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. After the introduction by the university president, Dr. Bob Jones III, Dr. Savinsky shares with us from the Bible how we should view the things that we have. Let's listen to his message titled, Possessions.
Evangelist Jerry Savinsky is with us today. Jerry's been here on many occasions. He's a graduate of whom we are very proud. He is maybe one of the most effective evangelists, unquestionably, one of the most effective evangelists. In America today, God's anointing is upon his life and upon his ministry. He's a man who undeniably practices what he preaches. I like that. You have a sense when you're around him that he's a man who walks with God, who is disciplined and consistent in his life. We love this man. We thank God for him. We pray for him all the time. I hope you'll put him on your prayer list as well. And every time he's ever been here, he's been used in a special way as an instrument in the Lord's hand for us. And I know that will be the case today. So it gives me a great deal of joy to present to you this morning Evangelist Jerry Savinsky.
I started out this past fall in West Virginia, my home church, for meetings, and then I've been in Pennsylvania, had fantastic meetings in Clymer and over in Sellersville and last week at Lansdale. Here this week, I'm flying to Tampa, Florida this coming Saturday. Then I'll go to Indiana and then I go to Michigan. Then I go back to Tennessee, fly to Colorado, come back to Georgia, fly to Arizona, fly back to Pennsylvania, and then I collapse. Looking forward for God's blessings. We appreciate you students, really do. Many of you, we know some of you students. We thank God for your lives. And this morning, I'd like to have you all take your Bible and go to Acts chapter 5, if you will. The book of Acts 5. I appreciate Dr. Bob Jones, Dr. Bob Jones III, and the friendship of these men. And I'll tell you, students, one of the greatest things in your entire life you're going to find as you serve Christ are those friends you build around your lives. Now, this morning, I'm going to give you a Savinsky commentary, okay? Now, this is what I'm going to teach you this morning on something very, very vital, I feel. But it's going to be Savinsky's commentary, okay? I want to talk about a subject we have to address to young people. And by the way, this past summer, I spoke at 7 different youth camps across America. And I'm finding more and more the thing I'm addressing is a major problem among teenagers. And I hope that I'll have your attention and you'll listen very well. How are you as a young person to look upon possessions? Well, look at Acts 5. We find verse 1, these words. But a certain man named Ananias with Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. Here we find a real cute couple in the New Testament. Can you imagine waking up in the morning and he says, "Oh, Sapphira, oh, Sapphira." And she says, "What is it, honey?" He says, "Listen, Sapphira, I've got this piece of land. I think we ought to sell this piece of land for $60,000. What do you think, honey?" She says, "Well, whatever you think will be just fine with me, Ananias." And so he puts a for sale sign up on, let's say, 10 acres of land, all right? And a guy comes by. And the guy says, "Hey, Ananias, so you've got this piece of land here for sale." He suggests, he said, "My wife and I have talked about it, and we must have at least $75,000 out of it." And the guy says, "Oh, that's a shame. I've got $60,000 cash on me, but I couldn't afford the $75,000. He says, "Well, I shouldn't do this, but because you're my friend, and you only, I'll sell it for $60,000. So Ananias gets the $60,000. He goes running home. He runs in the house. He says, "Sapphira, oh, Sapphira, where are you, honey?" She said, "Here I am." He said, "Listen, we did it. We sold the land. We got it for $60,000. But let's do this. Let's take $50,000. Let's keep it for ourselves. Let's take $10,000. Take it down to the church. They'll never know the difference. And we'll tell them we sold the land for $10,000. She says, "Whatever you say will be just fine." So he goes down there. And by the way, this guy was one of his pious fellas, you know. He probably carries a Bible like this. By the way, guys, don't ever carry your Bible like that, okay? And guy, he came down carrying his Bible like this, and he probably said, Brother Peter. And Peter said, "Jeff, yes, what is it, Ananias?" He said, "Listen, my wife and I, we just sold a piece of property, and oh, we love the Lord so much. Oh, I mean, we love the Lord so much. We want to give all the money back to Jesus." And when he said that, look what Peter said in the next verse, please. In verse 3. But Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land?" Look here. Have you ever been caught with your hand in a cookie jar? You know, your mother says, "You get your hands in there and I'll break your knuckles." You know? And you sneak in the kitchen one day and you take the lid off and you got your hand down in a jar and mother walks in, you go, and she catches, you know the feeling? What could this man Ananias say except, "Well, shut my mouth"? I mean, he's caught red-handed and he's lying. And so, when Peter said that, look at the next verse. Or verse 5. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down, kaplunk, and gave up the ghost. What's that mean, Brother Jerry? It means he died. You'll die too when you give up the ghost. And great fear came on all them that heard these things. Wow, look here. God killed the man. Just like that, God killed him. Now look, students, here is where it really gets juicy. Would y'all look in verse 7 right now? And it's about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. Look here. Question. Why was it 3 hours? Answer. Sapphira went on a shopping spree. Hey, she went to a local mall. Man, she bought a brand new dress. She got new high heels. She got her hair all dolled up. She got a new fur piece. She got a new bag, you know, and she got some jewelry, hanging earrings in about 3 hours. That's average for a girl at a local mall. And so, 3 hours later, she doesn't know what's done. She comes prancing in. And as she comes prancing in, look at the next verse, verse 8. And Peter answered unto her, "Tell me whether you sold the land for so much." And she said, "Yea, for so much." Oh, and last night we just loved the Lord so much. We wanted to sell the land and give it all back to the Lord. And when she said that, look at the next verse. The Word of God says, "Then fell she down straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And the young men came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband." Look here. Can you believe that, students? I mean, wham! And 3 hours later, wham! Again, God killed husband and wife. Hey, does God go around zapping people just for the fun of it? No. What happened here? Well, the answer is obvious. These people had the wrong view about possessions. Look at me, students. And you listen to this very well. You know what may destroy you as a young man? Lady, you want to know what may destroy your life as a child of God? The very thing I'm addressing right now, the area of possessions. There's some Bible principles that you and I must grasp in the area of these things we call possessions. First of all, I want to show you from the Bible the danger of possessions. Luke 12, verse 15, Christ said, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth." Look here. Your life does not consist of the abundance of the things that you have, that you amass, that you hoard. And Christ said, "You beware and you take heed of covetousness." Why is that so? Because it seems like when a person makes this the main goal of their life, it kind of makes them proud. It makes them arrogant. It makes them cocky. I'll never forget, many years ago, I was in Florida in revival meetings, and one day the pastor and I, one night, went out to my favorite eating place. Went to McDonald's. Now, my wife's favorite place is Burger King, but I like the fast food. I like McDonald's. And so we went in there, and the place was packed with teenagers. Man, I got me a cheeseburger and a diet drink, and we're having a good time. And the teenage guy pulled in the lot, the driving parking lot, with a brand new dark blue Vets. I mean, it was beautiful. And all the kids were looking out the window going, ooh, ah. I was going, ooh, ah. It was beautiful. It really was. This guy, look, he came in walking McDonald's. He acted like he owned McDonald's. A guy came strutting like this, you know, just as proud as all get out. He came in there, and he got him a fry and a cheeseburger and a drink. And he went back to his vet, and he was going to show off. He was going to impress these teenagers. And the way you impress a teenager is by laying rubber on the road. And the place was packed with teenagers. So he started the engine up. And by the way, nothing sounds better than revving a vet engine. He was going, and he was going to do this. He was going to put it in reverse, go back real fast, lay it in one, and then lay rubber on the road. Look at me, students. He revved the engine. He put it in reverse. He went back real fast, but he was not aware at the corner of McDonald's was a steel V-post. He ran that car clear through the whole part of that and tore the whole back end of that blue vet off. He crawled out of that car, and all the kids were going, ooh, ooh, like that, you know. He crawled out of the car, he looked at it, and then he put his hands on top of the vet, and he began to cry. And I stood there just a-laughing. I said, That's what you get for showing off. You see, I know, I used to show off. But I didn't have a vet as a teenager. I had a bicycle. And that's how we showed off. You know what you do? In West Virginia, what you would do is you'd go flying by your girlfriend. I had a girlfriend. And so you'd go flying by your girlfriend. You'd hit the brakes, slide the bicycle around her, lean on the handlebars and say, hey. So I was going to impress my girlfriend one day. I had a brand new pair of Levi's on, brand new shirt, had my hair all combed, man. And I was going to, I went flying by her. I was going to hit the brakes, you know, slide around her, laying the handlebars and say, hey. Well, I went flying by her. I hit the brakes. When I did, the brake band broke and I about went over the handlebars like this. And she sees it. And then I'm flying down this big steep hill like this. I look up and God's my witness, there's a train coming. I'm going right for the, now I'm going to get killed. She's going to see all this, so I had to do something. So I'm going for the train, and I don't want to go to the train. I'm flying down the hill, no brakes. And I took the handlebars, and I just turned the handlebars like that. I wrecked the bicycle. I slid, look, I slid 50 yards on the side right here. When I stopped, I tore the entire side of my pants right off. I mean, blood and skin's hanging there, and she comes running down. She says, are you all right? And I go, yeah, I'm all right. Yeah, that's what you get for showing off. You know what, students? You're going to find the same to be true in your life. When you don't realize the danger of possession is literally going to make a fool out of you guys. It's going to ruin you as a young lady. The Bible tells us that we ought to take heed and beware of covetousness. But second of all, the Word of God warns us about the deceit of possessions. Matthew 6:19 says, lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. You know, teenagers, new college students, a lot of times you can find you got a strong desire in your heart to want something. Here's a kid. Let's say he's in high school. He says, Dad. Hey, Dad. That's what is the son? He says, Dad. Dad, I need a car. Dad, everybody's got a car. I don't have a car, Dad. I need a car. Dad says, hey, son, you don't have any money. You say, oh, Dad, I do too. I've got $700 in the bank I've had since I've been 2 years of age. Now, come on, Dad. I need to get a car, Dad. Everybody's got a car. And Dad says, all right, son, go ahead and get a car. You serious, Dad? Yeah, go ahead and get a car. This kid goes and takes his life savings out, $700. He goes down to a used car lot. He walks in there, and the guy walks out and says, can I help you, son? He says, well, yeah, I'm looking for a car. Well, how much money can you put in one? Well, I've got around $700. Did you say $700? We have a car for today and today only, in mint condition, for $700. You're not serious. I am. Would you like to see it? Oh, well, yes, I would. The kid sees it. He buys it. He goes flying home with his brand new car. He runs in the house. Dad, where are you? Here I am, one as a son. Dad, you've got to see my new car. I've got a brand new used car. You did what you get, son. Dad, I've got a 1970. It has 185,000 miles on it. I already got one, didn't I, Dad? Your dad says, you certainly did, son. And Dad says, son, you got insurance on it? No, Dad, but I'll tell you what. Would you loan me $300? I just stopped at McDonald's and they hired me. And you know how much money they make at McDonald's, Dad. Hey, listen, Dad, I'll pay you back soon. So Dad loans the son $300. His first day going to McDonald's, he's got a little hat on, his little uniform. He's driving with his brand new used car down the road. And as he's going down the road, he hears a sound. He gives the car gas, but the car won't go. He gives it more gas. He pulls on the side of the road. And a guy, when the wrecker pulls it behind him and says, hey, son, what's the problem? Well, I don't know, sir, but I give the car gas. It won't go anywhere. We'll start the engine up. Let me listen to it. And so the kid starts the engine, and the guy looks at him and goes, That bad? Son, your transmission just went out. What? Well, this is my brand new used car. How could the transmission go out? I don't know, son, but your transmission went out. Well, what's that going to cost me? Son, that'll cost you $400. What? $400? Well, how much is it going to cost to pull this thing off the road? Huh? What's that going to cost me? Well, son, that'll cost you $50. Look here. The kid already has $750 in debts with his brand new used car. So what's he start doing? He starts working. He starts working every hour he can at McDonald's. Then one day he comes home and says, Dad, I know you won't stand this, but Dad, listen. I can't go to Sunday school, Dad. I'm going to work a lot of hours. They asked me to close at McDonald's. And Dad, I just want to pay the bill off, you know, Dad. I want to take care of these bills and obligations. I can't go to Sunday school. Then one day he comes home. He says, Dad, I can't go to prayer meeting. Man, Dad, I've got to work more hours. And what happens? Young people, look at me. This thing totally now is controlling his life. This thing now has him. Have you ever seen a dog chase a car and bite at the tires? Have you seen that? Even us, how these dogs, they always, and they're barking and they're biting at the tire like that. Have you ever thought, as a dog was running along the side of the car in slow motion this morning, biting at the tire, what would happen if that dog actually sunk his teeth in the tire and then held on? Let's do it right now, all right? He's running along like this. He sinks his teeth in the tire. He holds on and won't let go. Look at me. This is a dog right here. Wham! What you going to do? It's going to beat that dog right into the pavement, correct? You know what, students? You know what's going to destroy your life? You know what could ruin you as a young man if you don't grasp this Bible concept? The area of possessions. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 10 says, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which what some have coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. And oh, today, you and I need to recognize this area of the deceit of possessions. But last of all, there's one more Bible principle. You need to realize the need of dedicating everything you have to God Almighty. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now look here, please. You need to come to a place in your life as a young person while you're now getting your life shaped. But by the grace of God, I will not allow possessions to control my life. But by the grace of God, I'm going to have this thing set on my heart that God Almighty will possess me. And whatever I own, whatever God gives me, I'll recognize the Bible view of this thing. For example, let's say you came by to see me, all right? We have a new truck. It's a diesel truck. It's a one-ton pickup. We pull a trailer with it. And let's say you walk up to me and say, "Well, Brother Jerry, that's a lovely truck you have there. Is that your truck?" I say, "No, that's not my truck." You say, "What? Why didn't you just drive up in that truck?" I said, "Yes, I did." You say, "Well, whose name is that truck in?" And I say, "It's in my name." You say, "Well, who owns it?" Now I look at you and I say to you, God owns it. Now, is that pious lot? Is that something that I'm trying to impress you by? Or is that Bible? Look at me, friend. That's Bible. God owns everything. I am to be a steward of what God gives me. Whatever God gives you, young lady. Hey, fella, whatever God gives you, God owns it all. You are just to be a good steward of what God gives you. In other words, don't get a tight hold upon this life. Don't go to the place where you think possessing things to the point that you can't get them up is more important than serving God Almighty. I'll never forget when God dealt my heart when I prepared this sermon. I began to weigh what was my dearest possession. And by the way, look at me. What is your dearest possession this morning? I'm not talking about a mom or dad. I'm talking about something that you can grasp. Some materialistic thing. What is your dearest possession? Y'all want to know what mine was? Mine was a lovely rifle. And I said, "I wonder, am I willing to give this thing up?" And so one day I called my boys, Todd, Brent, and Scott. And I said, "Guys, sit down on the floor." We all sit down. And I said, "You guys see this gun right here?" They said, "Yes, Dad." And I said, "Boys, this is probably my dearest possession on this earth." And I said, "I want, as a testimony before you and God Almighty, I want to give this gun away." I did not do that to impress my boys. I'm not telling that to impress you. I'm telling that for one reason. I don't want possessions to have such a hold on my life that they control my life. You know what you're going to find in life? You're going to find when you seek first God, you put Him first in your life. You know what God's going to do? All of these things God will add unto you. God's going to take care of you. And may I say in closing, how you view possessions is very vital. Everything you and I have, we need to recognize the Bible concept, the Bible teaching of how we are to view these things. Young men, look at me. Some of you guys, God can use you greatly. Well, I'll tell you to your face, fella, God will never, never, never use you as long as you got this hang-up, that you've got to have the best wardrobe, most expensive car, be in the in-group. Young lady, God will never use your life if you think you've got to have the very best and your goal was all these things first. No, you put God first. All these things will fall in their proper place. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for these young people and for those, Lord, who perhaps are struggling in some areas of things of possessions or things they desire. Praying, Father, they might recognize the need of putting Thee first. Let all these things fall in place, we ask in Christ's name. Amen.
You've just heard the Chapel Platform. If you would like a copy of today's message, just write and tell us the speaker, Dr. Jerry Savinsky, the title of his message, Possessions, and also be sure to mention today's date. Along with this, be sure to send a check for $5.13 to Campus Store, Bob Jones University, Greenville, South Carolina, 29614. Join us again next time for the Chapel Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University.